Hi, folks. Elissa Walker-Campbell here to tell you about our good friends at Mercer Well Service, who pride themselves on integrity, leadership, and complete customer satisfaction in the oil and gas industry. They truly understand what it takes to be successful. In fact, they've been providing outstanding completion and workover rig services for over 50 years. One of the key components and reasons that they have been able to have such longevity is their exceptional staff and experienced personnel to assist you 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mercer Well Service also provides a full line of completion and workover rig services that include 158 rigs and have 25 swab units. Did you know that Mercer Well Service yard locations include Cleburne, Jacksboro, Kilgore, Whitesboro, and Sweetwater, Texas, among many others? And they are equipped with mud pumps, mud tanks, hydraulic catwalks, pipe racks, and rig supervisors. Why not give them a call today at 940-668-5147. Mercer Well Service. Call them at 940-668-5147.
Elissa Walker-Campbell is on the air.
Asking the questions you want to know.
With sports' biggest and best names. Chicago Bulls game analyst Stacey King.
The one thing about this team is that they're resolved. I mean, they continue to fight through injury. We have guys on the bench that are stepping up. Our depth has been one of the reasons why we're one of the better teams in the NBA.
The fastest hour in radio.
Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We're so glad you're along for the ride because the NBA conversation, well, it just continues. And one of the guys I was able to spend some time with out in Las Vegas, of course, is Bill Ingram from Hoops World. And I wanted to get your thoughts on some of the standout performers. Your report card is in. Who exceeded expectations and what was your impressions of the 2012 Summer League games?
Well, I think when we talk about who exceeded expectations, Malcolm Thomas is the player that really comes to mind. He was on Chicago's summer league team, an unsigned player, and averaged a double-double in Mudley and rebounding. So that's someone that people are going to be clamoring to get some time with if the Bulls don't opt to keep him on their team. But, you know, one kid that I really liked, Jay Crowder, came in, and as a rookie, you know, someone the Mavs just acquired through the draft process, he looked like a second or third year player out there. In fact, I joked with Cuban, you know, I was like, so you're, you know, you got a young player out there, you got a chance to do a little NBA Shark Tank. And he said, I'll take 100% for 3 years. but he really did not just, I mean, stats are one thing, but when you watch summer league play, you're watching for guys who kind of get it and what they're doing when they don't have the ball and kind of physically what they're up. And Crowder looked like a player who could have been a lottery pick. So really liked him. And also, of course, with the Mavs, Bernard James looks like a guy that's ready to take the court. Of course, 27-year-old rookie, his story's amazing. He's been in 3 combat zones with the Air Force, never played basketball until he got in the military. And this is someone who is an upgrade from Jan Mahinmi in that he has a real post game. He has a real offensive game. Also a very good shot blocker and rebounder. So some guys that kind of stood out, a couple of them are Mavericks, and that's a team that didn't have a lottery pick. So when you have guys like that standing out, I think that's a great sign. And, of course, I mean, player of the league, Damian Lillard from Portland, that guy, that their little point guards that they drafted, he's the real deal. I can't wait to see him play in the NBA.
Well, and, you know, Bill, he posted incredible totals. I mean, he was averaging almost, 27 points a game. I mean, Portland Trailblazers, they have a tremendous point guard in him.
They do, and a good center. Leonard looked really good for them. And even, you know, I mean, everybody on their summer league team, all the guys that are actually going to be Blazers, looked really good. Will Barton, a real steal there in the second round. He was a guy that a lot of teams were very close to drafting in the first round. We were hearing into the teams at some points, and he just slid. He was the guy this year that just slid, and he played fantastic basketball for them. Had a 20-something point game in the last game for Portland, and really, you know, he's a guy that understands he should have gone higher and wants to prove something, and you'd love to have those guys on your team. So, yeah, Portland had a very nice summer league squad.
Okay, when Damian Lillard, you were telling me earlier, you know, drawing some comparisons to Russell Westbrook with the Oklahoma City Thunder and then even Derrick Rose, I mean, that's a high comparison right there.
That's kind of, you know, we're talking to scouts and talking to GMs and people who were there and just watching him. You know, he's a guy that's going to be able to get his points. And then it's up to, you know, he's going to have to learn the passing game. I mean, he had some nice assists in summer league play. Well, he's going to have to learn to read defenses a little bit better. Summer league stats are a little deceptive. But he has that nose for the ball, that nose for the game. He's doing a lot of different things offensively, not just taking what's coming to him, but really breaking guys down off the dribble and making things happen. So, I mean, that's, I see a lot of, you know, Westbrook will give you five or six assists, and Derrick Rose will give you some assists, but their instinct is to score. And in Portland, what they really need right now is someone to come in with that mentality. They're going to put points on the board as well as feed LaMarcus Aldridge and, you know, some of their other guys, but they need a scorer, and that's what Damian Lillard's going
to
be.
You're listening to the voice of Bill Ingram. He's the executive editor with Hoops World, and we're doing a full recap of the 2012 Summer League games. And what, talking about the importance of the Summer League games, I mean, it's a compressed schedule where they've got five games, a handful of practices. I mean, how accurately can you predict how these players will be able to take their game to the next level?
Well, you know, that's it. That's why you're looking, I mean, stats are nice, but you're looking at how they play. That's why a guy like Jay Crowder, who comes in and has a real impact kind of game with and without the ball, you know, you're looking more at the way they handle themselves and, you know, playing five games in 9 days. And some teams, it's less than that. I mean, the Summer League is a week and a half, but some teams are only there for the first part of it or the second part of it, and so it's even compressed more than that. But it is. It's, Marcus Banks is a great example of a guy who dominated Summer League twice and never found a home in the NBA. But more often than not, a guy like Damian Lillard, who has five very good, very consistent games, he's going to be a legitimate NBA player. It's some of the other guys, you know, it's Malcolm Thomas, okay, double-double average, but how does his game translate to the NBA? You know, you just don't know. Versus, you know, you kind of have to look at the way they play the games, the way they go through it, but even then, you're still waiting for training camp, you're still waiting for preseason to really find out, you know, show me a double-double in preseason for five or six games. Now I'm starting to really believe in you, but at this point, it's about getting that invite, and I think Malcolm Thomas, just to use him as an example, playing as well as he did in Summer League gets you a camp invite somewhere.
Well, Bill, what about some of the players that have been around for a while? I mean, we saw Dominique Jones. I thought he did extremely well at the Summer League games, but Adam Morrison, I mean, he averaged at 20 points a game. I mean, Los Angeles, the Clippers, they've got to be excited about the Renaissance man. I mean, it looks like he's trying to revive his career.
Well, he definitely is, and you hope that that's something that's meaningful. You know, a lot of people were telling me, yeah, Adam Morrison, when you have NBA experience, you can come into Summer League and average 20 points a game. But when you're getting into the league and play, and teams know who you are and have scouted you and you're a known commodity and they have good defense, it's much more difficult. That was always Morrison's problem the first time around. It's interesting. Will he make their camp roster? And, you know, yes. And is there always hope that he can come back and revive his career? Yes. But I'm much more excited, you know, mentioned Damian Dominic Jones, and that's a guy who you're just waiting for him to kind of get it and kind of do whatever he has to do to earn Rick Carlisle's trust to get into the rotation, which we know for rookies and young players like Roddy Bobois, kind of scratch your head sometimes, they have a great game and not play for 2 weeks. So Dominic did a great job of scoring, and then the last two games they were using him as a point guard instead of, you know, wanting him to set up some more than just score, and he did pretty well at that too. So I'm intrigued by Dominic. I'm not sure that he's going to be an NBA player, but I am intrigued by the next step that he's going to take as a player.
Just a few more minutes this weekend on the Big East Sports Show with Bill Ingram, the executive editor of Hoops World. And let's pause quickly, direct all of our listeners where they can go online and check out your work, Bill.
Yeah, that would be hoopsworld.com. We cover all 30 teams, 24/7, 365. We are just as interested in the, you know, Charlotte Bobcats as we are the Miami Heat, from the champs to the worst, to everything in between. We have guys all over the country covering the league. So, and for me personally, you can follow me on Twitter at The Rocket Guy.
And I know you have a personal interest, though, in those Houston Rockets. And boy, did they score big time. That is a huge storyline with now Jeremy Lin headed to Houston. What do you think about that, Bill?
Well, it's been a huge storyline now. How impactful it is for the Rockets very much depends on what else they do, because the team they have right now is just a mixed bag of, they've got like 10 power forwards that are all kind of tweeners, no legitimate, a lot of 6'9", sort of 225, 230 type guys that they want to call power forwards. Donatas Motiejunas is definitely, I mean, he's a bruiser, a real power forward, but we don't know exactly how his game will translate from Europe. Sometimes that takes a little bit of time. He patterns himself after Luis Scola, and that would certainly be a heck of a nice player for him to become. You know, but Jeremy Lin, it's going to depend. This is a guy who was amazing for the first 3 weeks that he was on the court. No one had seen him. No one had scouted him. then the last month of the season, much more down to earth, 14.6 assists basically were his averages. And that's an okay player. That's a, you know, a Raymond Felton, or, you know, that's kind of a middle tier NBA point guard. That's not someone who makes or breaks your team. So the Rockets getting Jeremy Lin, that's nice. Omer Sheik is nice. But they are still the home run move away from being a playoff team. Right now, they're a bunch of interesting players all on the same team, but really no, like, rotation is clearly, you can't really carve out what their rotation is going to be. They've got a lot of redundant talent. So people ask me about the Rockets all the time, and I say I'm waiting to see what their next two moves are, because they've got to have two significant moves between now and the start of training camp, or they're just a mess.
Well, the Houston Rockets, as we're talking about, they look to make some serious headway in the upcoming season. What are your thoughts? We've never talked about this before on head coach Kevin McHale and his system. He's got Kelvin Sampson on board. What do you think about it?
Well, I kind of will point to the players who played for Adelman, who are now mostly gone by their own request. Because when you've played for a coach like Adelman, who really breaks down game plans and has definite plays that he's looking to run and makes adjustments in mid-game better than anyone, or as well as anyone, one of the best coaches to ever coach that has not won a championship, and clearly a Hall of Famer. And then you go to Kevin McHale, who doesn't run plays, who emphasizes motion, 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 and not a whole lot of structure, and doesn't make adjustments well. It's been tough. You know, it's been tough for, like, Kyle Lowry and Chase Budinger and Kevin Martin and, you know, a lot of the guys who Kevin's still there, not by his choice, but other guys have been traded because they did not get along well with McHale. I mean, Kyle Lowry and Kevin Martin had gone to McHale, and Courtney Lee went to McHale multiple times during the season and suggested Adelman plays in situations where they were struggling to score late in games and they were losing. And McHale got so upset that two of those three guys are now gone. In fact, they traded Courtney Lee, a stellar caliber guard, for three guys that would have been waived by the Celtics. One's already been waived by the Rockets, and one is refusing to report to Houston. So it's a mess. It's really a mess. McHale doesn't like coaching. It shows, and he doesn't, you know, for all the talk about him relating to his players very well, what does it say that your entire starting unit from last season would prefer to be somewhere else? And most of them are.
Bill Ingram has been with us on the Big E Sports Show. Please check out his work. He is the executive editor with Hoops World. He and his staff, they do a great job. One more time, provide that information for all our listeners.
Yep, that's hoopsworld.com, and that's no matter which team you're a fan of, we cover them all equally. We have no favorites. Of course, we have favorites, but we cover them all as if we don't. And, you know, we try to get outside of just the standard latest Dwight Howard rumor and blah, blah, blah. We really try to dig deep and get into, I mean, this week we're running interviews with every GM that was in Las Vegas talking about what they've done with their team to this point, what's going on next. So, yeah, for the diehard NBA fan, it's hoops.com.
I was going to say, when is some downtime coming up for you, Bill?
Christmas?
What is that? There you go. All right, we'll hopefully catch up with you in September, and we'll talk again real soon. Thanks, Bill.
Sounds good. Anytime.
You bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead here in just a moment. Hi, folks. Elissa Walker-Campbell here to tell you about our good friends at Mercer Well Service, who pride themselves on integrity, leadership, and complete customer satisfaction in the oil and gas industry. They truly understand what it takes to be successful. In fact, they've been providing outstanding completion and workover rig services for over 50 years. One of the key components and reasons that they have been able to have such longevity is their exceptional staff and experienced personnel to assist you 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mercer Well Service also provides a full line of completion and workover rig services that include 158 rigs and have 25 swab units. Did you know that Mercer Well Service yard locations include Cleburne, Jacksboro, Kilgore, Whitesboro, and Sweetwater, Texas, among many others? And they are equipped with mud pumps, mud tanks, hydraulic catwalks, pipe racks, and rig supervisors. Why not give them a call today at 940-668-5147. Mercer Well Service. Call them at 940-668-5147.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter. Under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Here we go. Elissa Walker Campbell along with you on the Big E Sports Show. And it is time for our final segment. That's right, our Under the Helmet segment with our good friend Jason Peter, three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska. And Jason P., it is hard to believe 30 days out from the start of the college football season. I cannot believe it's just around the corner.
Yeah, it really is. I know everybody out here in Lincoln is excited. Big Ten Media Days happened this past week, and people are just scratching, just itching, and can't wait to get this thing going.
What are you looking forward to the most within the Big Ten Conference this year?
Well, it certainly has been a rough offseason for the Big Ten. I think you had Urban Meyer, who had a lot of good things that people were excited about. Obviously, his reputation at Florida and at Utah speak for itself. But there were some other question marks, I think, with Urban. And Brett Bielema, the head coach at Wisconsin, had said something back in February saying that it's great to have a guy like Urban in the conference, but we're kind of hoping that maybe he keeps some of those SEC recruiting methods out of the conference. And that was a little bit of a blow, but that's, I think, the one thing that people are waiting to see how Urban kind of conducts himself. Obviously, they were able to get another really good recruiting class, and that's with all of these kids knowing that they're on 2 years probation. But obviously the big story that's overshadowed that is Penn State and the penalties that the NCAA handed down.
And of course, the Penn State sanctions that you're talking about, $60 million, a bowl ban. Should this program have received the death penalty?
I think in a lot of ways this could be worse than the death penalty. It could be worse than just shutting the program down for an entire season or two seasons. I think it's going to be very, very difficult for them to not just play at a major conference level. And the Big Ten certainly isn't the SEC, and it's not even the Big 12 in terms of, I think, quality teams. But just in terms of dealing with the public perception and public opinion, it's a battle, I think, that probably will take close to 20 years, I think, to get over. I know the probation is going to be 5 years, the reduction of scholarships down to 65, that will last for 4 years. So, I mean, coaches talk about it all the time with how difficult it was when the NCAA went from 105 scholarships down to 85. And if you're a program that isn't in a hotbed of recruiting like Texas or Florida or California, I think it makes it very, very difficult, and you have to make sure that the kids that you pick are pretty much home runs. And let's face it, nobody's a home run. How many five-star kids have we seen just kind of wash away and you never hear from them again? And Penn State is going to have not only that to deal with, but obviously they made it so that any current player or incoming freshman that signed his letter of intent this past year are able to transfer without penalty. So that's something that Bill O'Brien's going to have to deal with. They kind of let that door open till after the season as well. So even if he gets through this training camp or this season without losing any kids, they're still going to have to battle that whole problem when the season is over. So he's really got his work cut out for him. It's a major uphill battle, I think. I mean, they're almost down to a division, what was 1AA level in terms of the amount of scholarships.
What an incredible task that you're talking about, the head coach, when taking over this program in January.
you know, after leading the New England Patriots to a Super Bowl. I mean, just what all you that goes into, you know, building a program, but you're talking about rebuilding an athletic culture that perhaps will take 20 years. I mean, you talk about overwhelming.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, obviously Penn State is at the forefront of all this, but I know Mark Emmert came out with some statements and said that they need to make sure this sports are king type culture isn't in these major universities. And you know, I got a chuckle out of that a little bit because this is the same guy who came from LSU. And let's face it, I mean, LSU, not the squeakiest clean of programs, but now he's kind of pointing the finger at a bunch of these other programs or these major universities that have these dominant football programs that pretty much fund the entire university. But you know, he said we got to get back to this academic culture first. And you know, when you look at Penn State, I mean, I feel personally like it's a university that has done the whole academic thing right. I mean, they lead, or they don't lead. Nebraska actually leads in kind of the academic All-Americans, but they're at the top right there. I think they have like almost a 90% graduation rate from the football players. I think they've done almost everything right. I think you just had four or five guys that were at the top of this athletic department / administration, and those guys decided that they were more concerned about the brand of Penn State football than they were about these poor kids that Jerry Sandusky was molesting. But now all of those people are out. They're gone. And I understand where the sanctions came from. I understand you had to penalize somebody. You know, the thing that I think I didn't agree with was taking away the wins. I think if ultimately you kind of made up rules as you went along with this whole deal, because there was nothing in the rule book that said if a coach molests young kids, you know, this is how we're going to deal with it. So they kind of made it up as they went along. So I don't understand why they couldn't have made something else up as they went along and just say that you removed those wins from Joe Paterno's overall record, but why do you have to remove it from those kids that played those games that were just as innocent in a lot of ways as kind of those victims? Obviously, I'm not comparing, you know, one to the other.
Right.
They're two different completely things, but they're both innocent in all that. Those kids had no idea what Jerry Sandusky was doing. They went out, they prepared for each game, the whole blood, sweat, and tears type motto, and now, you know, when they get to be 40 and 50 years old or older, and they're telling their grandkids and about the teams that they played on, and you know, let's go back and look at the record book, and you're going to see all these losses now. And I don't know. Part of me feels for those kids, but I do understand there had to be something done to Penn State.
Jason Peter is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. It's being sponsored by Mercer Well Service, our good friends at Mercer Well Service. And Jason, as we look ahead now to the 2012 calendar and the upcoming season, I mean, how in the world do you assess or think that Penn State will do this year?
Well, I think this is going to be the best year that they have in probably the next 10 years. I think you're seeing a lot of kids are still hesitant about whether or not they're going to transfer. I know that they're dealing with this whole kind of recruiting process over again. It was reported earlier in the week that Illinois had sent six of their assistant coaches to the Penn State campus to recruit some of these kids. And, you know, that's just something that Bill O'Brien's going to have to deal with, I guess. You know, before all the sanctions were handed down, Penn State, I think, was probably looking at a not-so-good season anyway. I think they were picked to finish close to the bottom of their division, and, you know, this certainly isn't going to help. Obviously, it's going to be something that the players have to deal with question-wise from the media for the entire year. it's going to be either, well, the whole thing can go one of two ways. One is you can kind of use all that outside adversity, and as a team, you can kind of just shut the door to the locker room and not really communicate or listen to what anybody else is saying on the outside, or you can kind of let that in, and it can tear a team apart. So adversity can go kind of one of two ways when you're talking about a group of football players in the situation that Penn State's in. But it's going to be a tough year. I think they'll probably get a rude reception and at some away games. I think a lot of people are compassionate to the fact that these kids had nothing to do with it, but you're also talking about going to college campuses where a large part of the crowd is college kids and college kids that have been drinking, and it makes for a bad combination. But I think it's going to be a difficult year for Penn State.
Jason, we got about 30 seconds left, but I guess the good news for Penn State is their quarterback, Matt McGloin, is going to be staying, and he's going to be in place. And a number of those senior leaders were also, you know, in that press conference earlier this week, you know, made a point to say that, you know, they're going to be a part of this program and continue to be a part of it.
Yeah, I don't know if Matt McGloin had any other prospects out there. He hasn't been the most dominant quarterback, but at least he is a returning starter, and it keeps some stability at the position. But, yeah, you're just going to have to kind of wait and see. I just, unfortunately for Penn State, there's no kind of clear end to this thing where they can say, okay, now we can kind of just concern ourselves with building this program back again. And I admired those kids coming out and holding that kind of little press conference that they did outside the football stadium, saying that you know, we've got the opportunity here to help Penn State get back to where it once was. And you know, it's a situation that now as a parent you'd never want your kid to go through, and certainly as a former athlete, seeing those kids go through it, you don't wish that upon anybody. Yeah, someday, I guess, when all the sanctions are over, they'll be able to try to build Penn State back to what it once was.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. You can check out his work at jasonpeter.com. And also, we look forward to listening to you in Omaha, Nebraska, with your brand new show. And we'll catch up with you here. You get next week off, and then we'll catch up with you in 2 weeks, okay?
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a minute.